Welcome back to the Business of Government Hour. I'm Paul Lawrence, a partner at PricewaterhouseCoopers, and today's conversation is with George Fields, Director of Transportation Administrative Service Center at the U.S. Department of Transportation. After 5 years of operating a fee-for-service agency, what management lessons have you learned?
Be patient. Running a business inside of government is something that does, in fact, truly require a sense of patience. It's an ability to actually work with people and get involvement of the employees within the organization. I think that without their involvement, you don't get their buy-in. And that's something that we've been very careful to do in constructing this organization as we're presently going through our budgeting process, where we have to actually build our budgets in order to project our potential cost for each of the operating administrations within DOT that are going to be buying our services, hopefully. And as a result of that, we have to actually have the employees participate in that process. So this is not a matter of you build the budget, you know, at the top and then pass it down to the employees. We actually go through a process where the employees build the budgets. And so that's a management instruction that I would give to many, even if you're not running a fee-for-service organization.
We hear a lot about the coming government retirement wave and the expected impact on federal agencies. What kind of challenges will this present to task?
We're presented with the same challenges everyone is in terms of there are basically cycles of hiring that have taken place over the years in at the federal government level. 20 years ago, a large wave of employees came in. It's time for those employees to be leaving. One of the unique situations that we find ourselves faced with, though, is that, as earlier stated, we're looking for real expertise in the areas in which we provide service. And so we, quite frankly, are looking for those long-term employees. And so while at the same time that we're bringing in some new entries to the workplace, we're really trying to supplement ourselves with the long-term employee. And so we've been successful in both attracting and retaining past retirement period some employees that have the real expertise that we need in the given areas that we're providing service.
What advice would you give to a young person who's interested in a career in public service?
You have an interest in public service if you are dedicated to the public and delivering services to the public. If you think that there is, in fact, some monetary reward, public service is not where it is. If you are not, quite frankly, thick-skinned, public service is not where it is. I mean, quite frankly, public service, back in the 60s when I came into it, was, in fact, a noble calling. It has, in fact, over the years, lost that guild, but I think it's beginning to come back. I think it is, in fact, beginning to be identified as some place that is a place of choice. And I think that once government gets to the point where we, in fact, are not only being asked to be held accountable, but we are, in fact, accountable for what we're, in fact, delivering, then I think that the young person will, in fact, be coming back to government service.
What kind of skills should that young person have?
What we're looking for are people that have an ability to maintain interpersonal relationships, people that understand how to think through problems, so it's real solving of problems. Looking for people that, quite frankly, have good communication skills. Those are the basics. And beyond that, then a lot of it is going to be based upon ability to be trained. But very much the issue of interpersonal skills, because you're going to be interfacing not only with the colleagues that you're working with, but you're going to be interfacing with what we call customers, be it governmental or customers, be it the public.
What kind of services does TASC provide in the area of information technology?
We provide a host of services in terms of the IT arena, and we provide those services, quite frankly, in partnership and in conjunction with the private sector. We don't maintain a large workforce ourselves. As I noted earlier, we have a workforce of approximately 280 employees, and we have a workforce any day approximately 800 contractors. We're providing data warehousing services. We're providing telecommunication services. We're providing what we call mail store or email services. So the traditional desktop services, all of these are services that we, in fact, are providing and providing, I think, very well in a real partnership with the private sector.
What steps does TAS take to recruit and retain technology employees?
For one, we don't attempt to maintain a large workforce of our own, but those that we do, in fact, have, we have the real expertise in given areas, and we're retaining them, quite frankly, through the ways that many of the other federal agencies are finding that they're having to deploy, such as retention bonuses, signing bonuses. Within TAS, we have what we call an entrepreneurial award, where employees that are able to attract and retain business beyond the ongoing business are able to receive monetary reward for that activity.
What progress is TAS making in reviewing positions for competition through the FAIR Act?
We are, in fact, exposing all of our positions to FAIR. We quite frankly find that we are in an environment where we are partnered right now with the private sector, more so than many agencies. As noted, most of our employees that we're actually using to deliver services are, in fact, contracted employees. And what we find is that that represents an environment where the private sector sees that they, in fact, are participating in the activity of the service delivery. And so it's not a matter of the private sector is on the outside looking in trying to obtain this business. They're already working the business right now.
What are your lessons learned from managing so many contractors?
That is just it. That is the value that we bring to the table in TAS, in that having an expertise in the given area that we're delivering the service, then we understand what it is that both the customer is looking for as well as what the options are for ways in which to deliver that service, and as a result can, in fact, direct our contractors consistent with what our customers are looking for. Also, we're entering into relationships with contractors where it truly is a partnership, not just a cliche in terms of partnership, where the contractor is participating as a partner, meaning that they're at risk. So if, in fact, we're successful, our contract partner is successful. If we're not, our contract partner is not successful either.
What's your vision for the next 10 years of TAS?
At present, I'm looking at the next week, but for 10 years, I look that TAS actually becomes a bit of a model for the federal government in terms of how to deliver these behind-the-scene kinds of activities. You know, one of the things that I think the public is asking when the public is asking the question about the growth of government, public is really interested to know, what are we getting for the dollars that we, in fact, are seeing? Department of Transportation is a $58 billion organization. About $44-45 billion of that is, in fact, being delivered in terms of grants to the states, to localities. Public is wanting to know, how much is it, in fact, costing you to deliver those dollars to us? And organizations like TAS help the public really get a handle on lowering that cost of government for delivering the services directly to the people.
Well, I'm afraid we're out of time, George. Thank you very much for having this conversation with us this afternoon.
Thank you, Paul.
This has been the Business of Government Hour, featuring a conversation with George Fields, Director, Transportation Administrative Service Center at the U.S. Department of Transportation. To learn more about our program and our research into new approaches to improving government effectiveness, visit us on the web at endowment.pwcglobal.com. See you next week.